Hey, what is up, my dudes? You can find us every Monday and Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. For the full experience, remember to check us out on YouTube at TFF Dudes. And as always, don't be rude, share the dudes.
Informed, outspoken, wild, fearless. This is the Fantasy Football Dudes Podcast.
What is up, my dudes? This is Trent with the Fantasy Football Dudes Podcast. I am joined by Jordan, Phil, and Seth. Before I huddle up with my dudes here, wanted to let you guys know that today's episode is brought to you by our friends over at Sleeper. Sleeper is the absolute best place to play fantasy football, and now with their new DFS features of dynamic payouts, go over there, head over there. You can 100 times your money. Enter promo code DUDES100. They'll match up to $100. Like I've said, it's the very best place to play fantasy football. Jordan, I'm going to throw this over to Phil first. I don't even know where to go with this, Phil. Like, I'm honestly, like, it's been a weird week before we get in this football. Like, Jordan's not using his right hand because he has stitches. Phil's been doing hot yoga, and Seth's been fixing his microphone. So I'm, like, all just messed up. You know, like, Seth, I thought was to be the one guy who'd come in for me. But no. So since this pod in the past year, I think Phil is the only guy to not get stitches. So Phil, you're next. So I don't know. Like, I, Seth, what do you have to say, Seth, about Phil doing hot yoga before we're doing our quarterback rookie preview?
I don't even know what that is.
I just thought I'd kick it off with that stuff. What, Seth?
What even is that?
Hot yoga, well, Phil? What is it?
First off, it's not hot yoga. It's just normal yoga. And yoga is just, I have, you know, mild to severe back pain. It's actually not severe at all. It's just I have back pain every once in a while because I'm overweight and I run, or I haven't been running, but it's because I was running. And so I started doing some short yoga classes, and I, you know, sometimes, you know, Trent and I are friends outside of this pod, or acquaintances. I'd never call that guy a friend, but we're acquaintances outside of this pod. So from time to time, I will tell him what I'm doing for a workout routine for stretching. I don't know if you guys know this. Trent has struggled with a variety of things. He had his plantar issue, his back issue. The guy said he wore through 6 pair of shoes in 6 months. Like, this dude needs some yoga in his life. So I just happened to share with him that I was doing yoga, and he's like, I'm gonna say that on the podcast. And I'm like, absolutely, feel free. It's not hot yoga, it's just simply stretching. I don't know why he's making such, you're a diva for making me. It's not like I'm riding rollerblades through town, Trent, like you do. I'm just doing some stretching in the privacy in my own home. I don't know how weird.
Basically what happened was Phil's like, hey man, been doing yoga, you think Hot Works will give us a deal? And I'm like, no, that's not really our target audience. He's like, well, you guys make fun of me for walking, so I thought yoga would be better. And I don't even know what to say with that. So thanks, Phil. Jordan, for that whole thing.
He then sends me these barefoot shoes. Like, hey man, these really help my posture. It's like, I mean, have you looked in the mirror? Your posture is a nightmare. I'm not wearing those barefoot shoes that you wear. And also, I've never seen you wear those barefoot shoes. Raise your hand in this podcast if you've seen him wear those shoes.
Seth, okay. I don't know what barefoot shoes are.
Oh, exactly. Exactly, Jordan.
Vivo Fit. 0 for 3. Nice shoes.
I would pay money to see you walking around in those NBA length basketball shorts and barefoot shoes walking around the Dinuva gym.
Oh
my goodness. All right. Jordan, heard you got a little accident with the weed whacker. You want to explain this story here? Because you made a lot of fun of me for, you know, cutting my hand and getting stitches. Then we'll go over to Seth and we'll jump into some, you know, rookie preview football news.
Yeah, I was trimming the bushes with electric trimmer. Got my, I don't know if you can see that actually, got my finger here, sliced it open. So, but you know what, Trent, you panicked and you ran to the doctor. I waited 24 hours, not want to go, had no choice. Like,
you ran to the doctor
and I was like, did not want to go. So that's the difference between me and you. I had no choice.
I don't know if you saved time, though, waiting 24 hours. And you possibly might lose your finger, it sounds like.
No, finger's fine. I'll be good to go. Yeah, I don't know if I saved time either, to be honest. But
is it your,
I delayed the inevitable. Yeah, my shooting hand, I guess. Dude. The one thing I'll say, though, is you don't realize
getting a splinter.
You don't realize how much you use like your finger until like you can't use your finger anymore.
I know,
pretty crazy. Like, it's pretty crazy.
The littlest things.
Yeah, like just in literally like writing, piano, like I change guitar, how I hold a pencil. Like, yeah,
it's crazy. Fiddling your pants on. But
driving,
anyways, driving. Yeah, texting, DFS, swiping. Yep. Seth, how we do? How we doing, Seth? You hanging in there, guy? You know, it took you a while to fix your phone or your mic. Just a quick little update.
Yeah, I don't know what was up with my mic, but I needed some fixing and I couldn't figure it out. And then I finally figured it out. And so now I'm here. Trent was calling me while I was trying to concentrate, so I just ignored it. And I figured it out. So, all good.
Well, he almost started without you. And then, you know, you figured it out so well, you still hadn't figured it out by the time you got on here. So that's good. Yeah. You guys see this, so we'll get into some little, you know, NFL news here, but you guys see this Jason Kelce, you know, sounds like there's some WWE rumors. Phil, would that get you back, you know, to watching the Iron Cage there or no? Is that enough? Like, who I've do you kind of see like, in WWE?
I don't really watch WWE at all, but like, I don't know, some of those matchup, like some of those crossovers, like Pat McAfee's in there. Who else do they have in there? Who else goes over there?
I'm not sure who else goes in there.
Paul, one of the Paul brothers, I think, goes over there. I don't know which one it is. I think it's the older one. But yeah, Jason Kelce, sure. I don't know. I mean, I don't really care what that guy does or the WWE for that matter. I think the most important offseason interesting news is the CFL's Saskatchewan Rough Riders are interested in Chase Claypool. Did you see that, Jordan?
Did not. They're going to play him at give him some handoffs?
They are currently adding him to the exclusive negotiation list. That means Chase Claypool could be playing football again as early as mid-June, which I don't know if you know, that's when the CFL starts, which I think is such a sleeper move. Like, I have not watched a CFL game in a long time. It goes from mid-June to mid-November. Like, that's why are we not paying? Why do we not cover that as part of this podcast? If we did, we should do some Canadian football, fantasy football. Honestly, we might get some
Canadian
some
football
listeners from
bets,
the north.
Plays, maybe some plays, you know, underdog.
We might get
sleeper.
Some listeners to the north. We've been looking to expand our horizons. If we focus on Canadian football, we might go big.
Phil, that I'll let you handicap the CFL. Oh, yeah, that'll be your thing. That'll be your thing. You can
that'll be my niche market.
Yes, yeah. Niche market. There you go. No, that's, I'll be dude, honest, that's, like, if they had some DFS, you know, on you know, I might play it, but I'll be honest. The UFL, what is it? UFL, USFL, what is it?
I can't figure out what the name is, but they aren't even doing the kickoff that the NFL is doing. Like, they're doing old school kickoff.
Well,
I noticed.
Did the XFL merge with the US? Like,
I believe so. Merge? Yes, I believe so.
Yeah. I've played it in the past, like DFS stuff in the past, but like, I didn't play it this weekend. I don't know, just wasn't into it.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, what would be worse for Claypool, playing in the USFL or playing in the Canadian Football League? I think you'd
probably
get paid more in Canadian
probably the USFL.
Football League.
Yeah, I think you would too.
Yeah. Well, hey guys, remember to like this episode. Remember, don't be rude. Share it with the dudes. Share it with the dude. Go over to YouTube. Give us a like and a sub at TFF Dudes. Follow us on Twitter. Sorry, follow us on X and Instagram. I now feel weird calling it Twitter. I don't know why. At TFF Dudes for all the latest, you know, stuff from us. You know, see all those viral tweets, all that good stuff. Let's hop into this here. But honestly, I'm surprised Jordan's here. You
they
know,
do have now, fantasy, just for what it's worth. They do have fantasy. Canadian Football League does look like they have fantasy. So, I don't know, man. I think we can get into this. How could you not get behind the name of a team, the Rough Riders or the Elks? You claim to be a hunter, Trent. Like, you're all into hunting. You're against charcuterie with elk sausage on it. Yet you're not a fan of the Elks football team of our northern brothers.
If I had known they were a football team, I would have been a fan of them. Honestly,
this we should try and get some of some CFL swag. Jordan, you need to dial up the what is that bidding site that you bought me bought my jersey from that I need to wear on the podcast?
eBay.
It's called eBay. Yes. It was slipping my mind.
What?
It slipped my mind there for a second. I don't know.
Hey, it's late filming at the last minute. You know, we had some stuff come up that we had to go out a day early, but that's okay. Just continue to be flexible with us, guys. Keep tuning in. Really helps us out. Give us those comments on YouTube and X, but I'm honestly surprised Jordan's here on the pod. You know, I'm sure he's pretty excited. He now has his like fourth favorite quarterback backing up Patrick Mahomes. Carson Wentz signing with the Chiefs. I know Jordan's like as big of a Wentz fan as anyone I know. Aren't you a big Wentz fan, Jordan?
No. Why would I be a big Wentz fan?
I thought you liked Wentz at the Eagles, and I thought you liked Wentz when he went to the Commanders.
Like I don't mind Wentz. Like I think Wentz was a guy I like to root for. You know, like
you appreciate his values.
Appreciate his values. Like has a lot of like values. You know, good guy. You know, a guy I like to root for. But I wouldn't say like I liked him on the Eagles, but I wouldn't say he's like good quarterback anymore. But
yeah, no, I think he maybe wasn't the same after the injury. He had that MVP year and then just never was quite the same, unfortunately.
The Chiefs had to improve their locker room, you know, after they had to get a good locker room signing after the fiasco that happened over the weekend. Is that a coincidence? Like, you had the Rashee Rice incident, and then they signed, like, a good guy like Carson Wentz to bring in the locker room? Like, I don't know.
It seems you're
interesting to me, you know?
No, you're right. I don't know if it was balancing it out, but there probably are like, hey, we could use some guys in here that are not like all me, but like, how can I serve my team? You know, that's probably Jordan, of all the things that you've ever said on this podcast, that might be the best thing. Like, you know,
I just thought it was funny. Like, not funny is the right word, because what happened with Rice is not funny, but like that happened and they sign and go sign like a guy like Carson Wentz to bring him in the locker room.
Locker room guy, yeah.
I just don't understand that whole Rice thing. Like, what was he paying, like $1,200 to rent that car a day? Like, I don't know. I just, you gotta have a lot of money.
I think they must have had some type of family thing or something. And he had the Corvette, and so they wanted to get a Lambo. And the whole thing is just weird to me, the whole situation.
And leaving,
walking, just leaving. Like, yeah, it's just all weird.
I feel like it made it way worse for him than what it could have been.
It made it way worse.
Yeah, just don't do that.
He's lucky, to be honest, he's lucky that no one was actually seriously hurt.
Exactly.
And he wasn't driving either. Because if you look at the videos, he comes out of the back seat.
Yeah. That's another thing, though, on the agreement, he signed that he was going to be the only person driving.
Yeah.
So maybe that's another thing that gets him. Seth's kind of our law enforcement guy on the pod. I don't know if Seth's following this. And Seth played a lot of
driving
auto in high school.
Driving in law enforcement.
I did not play that game. So, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, what's new with these NFL players being dumb in cars? It's not new, you know, like it's going to happen every season.
Learn, right?
You think they'd learn. I mean, who just did it like and destroyed his leg? Was it Miles Garrett or something like that? Or his shoulder? Who was that?
That was a couple years.
Are you talking about the tight end that got into an accident and got burned?
I'm talking about the defense end, that happened last year, 2 years ago.
That was a while ago. Then Ben Roethlisberger had that one incident where he like was riding the motorcycle and got an accident, and they had to put it in his contract that he couldn't ride motorcycles.
But I mean, like,
anymore.
And then you have Henry Ruggs. Like, come on, like if you can't learn from Henry Ruggs, like,
yeah, exactly.
All these guys,
it's gonna happen all the time. It's gonna happen.
Well,
even
Addison last year. What was he going like 120? And he said his dog was having. What was the thing with that? What did he say? It was something.
His dog. He was rushing his dog to the vet. There's a medical emergency with his dog. And they didn't say his dog was in the car, but and he was by himself.
Jalen Carter, too, before the draft.
Yes.
Well, too. Well, that was a bad deal, too.
That was in this almost in the same vein, I believe, as the Henry Ruggs situation. But like
this isn't as bad as the Jalen Carter, I will say.
No. I believe someone passed away. Yeah, I believe someone. I also believe someone passed away, unfortunately. Yeah. But yeah, it's just you just don't do that. And I don't. It's a mess.
You're young kids with a bunch of money, right? And then you just.
I will say
though, stuff.
Like this does have serious fantasy implications, though, because like, what is Rice? We have to know a lot of stuff for dynasty value, redraft value. Like, where like, it's a big deal for are the Chiefs draft a wide receiver now? Like, are they going to get clarity before the draft? Because they need to draft. Who'd they sign? I'm blanking on who they signed a receiver to.
Marquise Hollywood Brown.
Yeah. So like that's a if Rice is not playing or Rice is suspended, that is a huge bump to Hollywood Brown, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the other one is So I believe, you know, we're recording this Tuesday night. I believe what I saw from Rashee Rice's lawyer is he's thinking he's not going to miss any time at the worst two games. So
yeah.
I did see some guys doing some trades with Rashee Rice today. Guys were able to buy him for really cheap on in Fantasy Football Dynasty. Guys just overreacting to the news. It's amazing how you get also, the right guy. You can have that happen.
But also, Trent, like, it goes to, like, is this going to be a pattern of behavior from him? Because, yes, the first time it's two games, but if this something like this happens again, now you're talking probably a longer suspension. So that may kind of come where that, that value in a dynasty league, right? Like, you're in it for the long haul. So
I feel like the Chiefs are a pretty good organization with stuff like this, though. And they'll probably give him the resources to make sure this doesn't happen again. You know, maybe I don't know. Like, I feel like there's some teams that are kind of like, hey, we're going to, you know, help you out with this.
I don't mean this come off the wrong way, but like, is Andy Reid the best? Like, I don't know. I don't know if he proved in his personal life he was able to handle this type of stuff well. So I mean that like in the most sensitive way possible, but like, I don't know, like you say that, but also like Andy Reid's kids have had issues when it came to driving and stuff like that. So I don't know. It's just interesting. Like, I don't know. That might be kind of too far for this podcast to get into, but
yeah, no. So other things, you know, if, yeah, I don't know. You know, maybe if you don't want to go too far, maybe head over to Manscaped. This would be a good time to do it. Manscaped.com, promo code DUDES20, 20% off your whole entire order. They got that new Lawnmower Ultra 4.0. It gets you nice and close, has a flashlight, all the good stuff. Throw some boxers in the cart while you're at it. 20% off, promo code DUDES20, 20% off the whole entire order. Really helps us out. Help yourself out. Those new boxers will be really nice this upcoming summer as the heat rolls in. So let's go over to our rookie preview, guys. You know, we just said let's break the huddle. Phil, you're going to read off the list. We're going to kind of say what we think of each quarterback. We're going to give our, you know, the top six favorite quarterbacks we have. Then we're going to have some best of the rest. You know, some maybe day two, maybe day three type guys go into that. But Phil, you over there in the show docs, you ready to go, buddy?
Yeah, yeah. This guy's probably the second biggest guy. Or actually, he's the third biggest guy on the quarterback on our rookie QB, just for kind of like our lead guys. But Jaden Daniels, 6'4", 210, coming out of LSU with what looks like just a little bit of a crazy elbow situation. What are your guys' thoughts on this guy?
What are you thinking about the elbow, Jordan? You think that's like, have you seen the elbow picture?
I'll be honest, I haven't seen it. I need to, let me bring that up.
You guys talked, let me pull that up. It is very freaky looking. It looks like it's popping out almost.
It's strange. It almost looks like it's part of the muscle and the elbow are separated.
Yeah. And he said it's totally fine, he said there's nothing wrong with it, but it, like everywhere I'm seeing it, everyone's like, is that Photoshopped or, you know, I don't know. Are you guys pulling it up and seeing it? I'm looking it up right now, trying to.
That can't be like real.
I don't, about it. It's really weird. I'm going to share it on the screen here. If you haven't seen it, you can head over to TFF Dudes on YouTube. Check it out. Here
it's crazy looking.
Do you see it? Like how
that looks Photoshop.
Yeah,
it does.
That's Photoshopped.
It has to be.
Where did
it
come from? Like, where did the.
No, like Adam Schefter's retweeted it. Like, everyone has retweeted this picture, like, as a real story, okay. Not like.
That one's Photoshopped. This one I'm
looking
at. That
one's Photoshopped.
Yeah. This one I'm looking at doesn't look as bad. It looks weird. Like, his elbow looks weird.
Let me see it, Jordan. Share it.
There's a lot of people. There's a lot of people throwing.
Shared fake news on here.
No, it's. Hey, it has been everywhere on this.
No, it's just like a different angle, but like. If you look at like, you're not going to be able to see this one. Here, let me see if I can. This one, like, it looks just like I can see where it comes from.
But like,
yeah, I just sent in the group text if you want to look at it, Trent.
Like, JP, yeah. I don't, a lot of pages have shared it. I believe Adam Schefter might have even shared it too. Like, I think it's just a weird angle.
It's a weird angle. Yeah. The sun, see how the sun's shining on his whole forearm? It's a weird angle, sun shining, and he probably just has a weird elbow. So, I mean,
yeah, it looks extra.
It's just a weird combination.
It looks extra weird in that one, but there's other ones where it just looks a little bit different.
I thought it was Photoshop when I saw it. I was surprised how many people were resharing it and acting like there was nothing wrong with it and the size account sharing it. Seth, you know, as a guy who played baseball, you really wanted to have Tommy John in high school. What do you think about that?
I'm just going to pretend like you know what you're talking about. His elbow's fine. It looks normal. It's just he has like some weird shaped elbows, bony, you know, and it's the way the sun's on it, like from the angle, just what it is.
Okay. Jordan, what do you like about Jaden Daniels? Phil, did you say his measurements or no?
I did say that. Yeah. I said he's 6'4", 210. He's probably the third biggest guy in this group, coming behind Drake May. And then I'm just going to throw Joe Milton in there as well at 6'5", 235, but he is probably the third biggest guy on the list just in terms of height and weight.
I think he is, I feel like he's a fantasy, and in the right situation, he can be like a fantasy goldmine, honestly. Like, mm-hmm. I think he could be a really, like, in college, he was a fantasy stud, right? Like, yeah. I played him a ton in DraftKings DFS. Like, Seth and I did a lot of sleeper plays with Jaden Daniels and really like the LSU offense. Like, he's a stud, like, right? He can get it done on the ground. He has a good arm. He also was throwing to like incredible athletes, right? So
that's my biggest take.
Will help. Like Neighbors and Brian Thomas and there's a couple other receivers there. They're just loaded at receiver. They're always loaded at receiver. But he's a good athlete. I think in the right situation, he can kind of be like a Jalen Hurts type where he's just really good and he's a good fantasy producer. I'm curious to see where he lands. You know, we talk about the Bears have number one and then it's Patriots Commanders, right?
Yes, it goes Bears. Where'd that go?
Commanders, Patriots, Cardinals, Chargers, Giants, Titans, Falcons.
If the Patriots were to use him right, I think he could be a really like good fantasy. He's just going to have a lot of value on fantasy wise because of the ground game, right? Like even Justin Fields, like it doesn't matter how good of a quarterback you think he is. He has fantasy value because he just takes off and runs. So, I like Daniels a lot. I question again, like his athletes, you know, does it translate?
Yeah. He's very good at extending plays. You know what I'm saying? My biggest problem with Daniels is his career stats. Like he threw 40 TDs this season to four interceptions, but in 2022, he only threw 17 TDs. And the year before that, I don't know how much he played, but he only threw 10 TDs. So he's like, his production almost doubled this past year. And that's where I'm just like, I don't know. Is this just a recipe from having really good wide receivers, or he really just turned the corner? You know what I'm saying? And like, he had really, really good wide receivers at LSU. Really, really good. I didn't watch him a ton. I did watch him versus LSU though. And I know that I watched him versus Florida State, LSU. And that was not a great game for him. So I don't have a ton of like watching him. I just read the reports and all that stuff. I know he's very good at extending plays. They lost that game versus Florida State. And, his arm's pretty good. I what worries me is just were his receivers just so good, because Neighbors was really good. And then who's the other receiver he has? This is a really deep
Brian Thomas.
Class. Yeah, and a lot of guys are really
Brian
high
Thomas. Brian
Thomas also, right?
And then honestly, Kyron Lacy was really good too. Like that was their third receiver, Kyron Lacy. They had a pretty solid tight ends. Like, yeah, I mean they were loaded on offense, three legit wide receivers, very comparable to the receivers that the guy behind me in my background has that we'll get to also. So,
But looking at this though, Jordan, like I said, extend plays is something he does really good. My takeaways are just one season of high level production, not great pocket presence. He had a very high sack rate. He got sacked 32 times this past season.
It also goes back to like trying to make plays, right? He's trying to make plays. He sits, I'll sits in the pocket. Yeah. He's yeah. So, and yeah.
Where is the play? Do you have like a player comp you would compare Jaden Daniels to? You said Jalen Hurts earlier.
I just think that it's hard. Like, I don't like, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I am some type of QB. Like, I think from a fantasy wise, though, like a Justin Fields, Jalen Hurts, like guys who provide value with the legs, you know?
And that's the, maybe that was a maybe knock a Cam on
Newton,
Fields too.
Cam Newton, Newton-ish, like Cam Newton type, like, from just a, I think he's going to, in the right situation, could be a pretty good fantasy quarterback, which essentially is what we care about here, right?
So. Yeah. Yeah, at the very least.
It just seems that type of quarterback, I don't know. I mean, like you said, Jordan, maybe the Patriots. Like, what type, what team is really looking for that type of quarterback right now?
Well, I think it just, were the Eagles looking for Jalen Hurts, but. No, like you just adapt because that's what he's good at, right?
Sorry, I guess I should say, like, what teams are looking for someone like that, just at quarterback in general?
But, I mean, the
Bears are not going to go after him, I don't think.
No, they're going to take Fields. They're going to take Williams. Patriots. Whoever takes him, it's going to be the Patriots or the Commanders. It'll be whoever takes. So, I mean, someone has to be willing to do that. And I think he's a good enough talent to where people just do it anyways.
Well, looking at it, Commanders maybe have a little bit better. You know, if I'm a quarterback, I don't want to go to the Patriots. Like, the offense is not that great. You know, Commanders, you have Terry McLaurin. You know, Dotson's a high draft pick. Maybe they can string something together. Their quarterback they had this past year, why am I blanking on his name right now? He's at the Seahawks now. What's his name?
Sam Howell?
Sam Howell, you know, he had a good fantasy season. I know it's a new coach and all kinds of stuff, but you know, there's receivers there that they could get them involved. Seth, anything other than, you know, Jaden Daniels' funky arm that you can't get over or anything?
I would just think like the one season thing, but I actually think he'll be pretty decent in the NFL. I actually think he'll be the second quarterback off the board.
So you got him at number two.
I got him at two.
All right. Anything else we want to say on Jaden Daniels? You know, he is used to, you know, like he did kind of, he came in after Burrow, right? Those are big shoes to fill. And, you know, so
transfer from Arizona State.
And, you know, he's a good athlete. It'll be fun to watch. But who do we got next, Phil?
The next guy on the board here is Caleb Williams at 6'1", 214 pounds. He is actually the smallest QB with the exception of Spencer Rattler that we have on there.
Jordan, you love Caleb Williams or what? Is he your guy?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's not, yeah. I think he's really good. I think the natural talent kind of speaks for itself. I mean, some of the things that I question, you know, is like the leadership and the intangibles a little bit. And, you know, I didn't like how his senior year went from like a perform, like a record wise and stuff, but he's an extremely talented quarterback. I think he's for sure the number one guy you got to take there. I think at the end of the day, the Bears made the right choice trading Fields and going to draft Caleb Williams. So, like I said, like I question, you know, some of the intangibles a little bit, some of the maybe the off the field stuff, you know, but also like if you're that good, none of that stuff really matters, right? Like if you're getting the job done, you're winning, your teammates like you, you're a good leader, like some of that stuff kind of takes care of itself. So he's really good. I mean, there's not a lot to say here.
Yeah. He's like the ultimate, you know, backyard football player, you know, really good arm talent, off script, can extend plays. I need to look and see what his stats were on how many times he got sacked. I know his offensive line was really bad this past year. I would have liked to have him won more big games. He had two opportunities to beat Oregon this past year, I believe. And I don't think he didn't beat them either time. So, I don't know. And I know it's a team game where you can't give him all that. Problems is it seems like he's always looking for a home run. He's always looking for that deep play downfield, and he can make it happen a lot, but it's just, I think that causes him to get sacked more, likes to hold on the ball, could be franchise changing talent. You know what I'm saying? Like, really good. You know, Phil, you're a USC guy.
I'm a USC guy.
Used to be.
To some extent. I mean, Jordan, to hear me out, one analyst, and I'm not going to tell you who it is, and you're going to let me know if you like this take or not, described his pro comp as a mix between Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes. So
I see it.
Okay. All right. I feel like you probably don't love that they threw Russell Wilson in there, but you probably
No, they're comparing him to prime Russell Wilson. I like prime Russill Wilson. I just don't like over the hill Russell Wilson.
Okay. Well, in that case, that is the
rookie contract. Russell Wilson was awesome.
Name that analyst. Who do you think said that?
Is it an ESPN guy?
It is an ESPN guy.
That's Kiper.
It's Kiper, senor. Attaboy. You hit the nail on the head there. It is Kiper. Is our good friend Mel Kiper. And those were his pro comps that he said. And so I feel like even what Trent was saying, like, that's a franchise changer. That's what Patrick Mahomes, I mean, Chiefs were decent, but it's like, it's a franchise changing QB that's coming in here. So I think this is obviously they're going to snag him. Who knows what, like, is he going to, people joked that he's going to do like the Eli Manning situation, was where he said no to the Chargers. Like, who knows what really happens? Frankly, I think you're hoping at some point, and I don't think that the Jets are going to take anyone, but maybe if the Jets did take someone, that you can kind of sit behind Aaron Rodgers for a year and get to learn a little bit like Jordan Love did.
Yeah, the problem is I don't see Chicago doing that. Like, Chicago probably should have done that with Justin Fields, right? But they're kind of win now and they want to see what they got. This is a great situation for a rookie quarterback. DJ Moore's there. Who's the other guy they got there? They DeAndre just got another guy.
Keenan Allen,
DeAndre Swift, Cole Kmet, like, really good, you know, pass catching team. One of the best situations a rookie quarterback could go to. Like, I even thought, you know, Justin Fields could have done good with this team also. And they traded Justin Fields for absolutely nothing. You know, they didn't even get magic beans out of the guy.
They have two picks, Trent, in the first round. Picks in
the first round. They could even get another wide receiver, maybe potentially. Seth, as the guy that's closest, you know, to someone who played with Caleb Williams, do you have any, you know, insider information that you would like to steal? You know, you'd like to spill. We're not going to have you name drop him, but
he's going to the Bears.
That's all you're going to tell us.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know what other secrets he has. Maybe he has a backup purple phone case. I don't know.
He's definitely one of those guys that rocks multiple phone cases, you know, and I don't definitely. Like people like
probably
that.
Different day of the week, different color. Maybe.
Yeah.
Kind of like Trent's satchel.
Trent's merced.
Satchels. Speaking of satchels, satchels were kind of in, they were kind of popular in the 2000s. End of the show, Safer Dudes decides I'm going to talk about the best things about the 2000s. So I think that'll be a fun one. You might want to check that out. Watch the whole thing on YouTube. You know, like, satchels, like the side bags were kind of somewhat popular for guys in the 2000s, Phil. Do you remember that? Guys had those backpacks that went over the side.
You're right. Actually, the like the leather bags that were just like that people would carry. I feel like, didn't you have one of those in high school? But yours was like one of those Velcro ones. Like, you had to like open it up to put your
mine. Yes. It's not my proudest moment, but it still wasn't as bad as your rolling backpack. You took some so it was like,
no.
Oh my goodness. Like, it was like, guys, I have a bad back.
Absolutely so not, lame, Seth. Absolutely so not, lame. But that was such
was
a good
so
scene.
Lame.
There is
so
nothing
lame.
Worse than a rolling backpack. Like, guys, there is absolutely
nothing. Phil's like, guys, I don't have a locker. I have to be able to carry all my books. It's like, okay, Phil.
I would rather have back pain the rest of my life than to ever have a rolling backpack. The only time a rolling accessory that carries stuff is okay is when you're traveling and it's a rolling luggage. If you have a rolling backpack, and that's a struggle for me because it's simply too close to a rolling backpack. But if you have a rolling backpack, I could see guaranteed Jordan was walking to classes at Fresno State with that thing.
No.
So when my
just sister, a mural of Kobe on it.
When my sister was in first grade, a lot of the kids had rolling backpacks, and they actually had to make a rule at the school that you couldn't give other kids rides in rolling backpacks because kids were pulling the rolling backpacks and kids would sit on them. But yeah, Phil didn't think it was that funny when, you know, his friend Jason would ride on his rolling backpack in high school. But anyways,
he was a little too tall. Jordan, if you had to have a mural on your rolling backpack, would it be Kobe or LeBron?
Kobe.
Okay.
Yeah. What kind of question is that? Yeah.
He's a LeBron guy.
Do you not know Jordan?
I'm not, I mean, I'm like,
his dog's named Mamba.
That's true, Phil. Like, come on, Phil.
That's true. All right. Moving to the, do you want me to move on to the next QB? I feel like
yeah, move on.
Talked about Caleb Williams.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah.
All right. All right. 6'4, 223, Drake May.
Biggest guy on here, right?
Or no, second biggest guy after Joe Milton, Seth. But yeah, he's second biggest guy.
I think he's going to be the third quarterback off the board. That's what I'm seeing.
He might be the second. Yeah, I don't know.
I think it's between him and another guy. Maybe I think it kind of depends on the team's preference. Obviously. At least in my opinion, I think he probably top three guy coming out of here. Didn't really watch. I think I only watched one of his games this year. But from what I saw, it was good. But I mean, does UNC really play any big time, like really big games? You know, like were there any big game moments that he had against like really good teams?
Like where he's really tested, Seth? Is that
yeah, like really tested. Like I guess I don't want to go back on Caleb Williams here, but it's like the one thing I saw there is Caleb Williams, like sure, sometimes he had really like good games against like bad teams, but he also didn't have that good of games against like high profile teams, right? So I think maybe that's one thing you could think about May here too, is like the teams he played weren't the best teams in college, right? Like was UNC really – Were they top 25 like consistently week in, week out?
I mean they were 8-5, 4-4 in the ACC. Let me see if I can pull up their schedule here.
It seems like he was kind of their whole team. I think their starting running back was hurt most of the season. I think something happened with maybe his best wide receiver, but like they lost to Duke in double overtime 47-45. So he was out there.
They beat Duke
47-45. So like they have to, you know,
like
go toe to toe with Duke like that. Like I don't know if he had a ton of help all around.
They lost to Georgia Tech. They lost to Virginia. Yeah. They lost. I mean, here's my thing with Drake May. He reminds me a lot of like Will Levis. I didn't think he had the best year this year. I think he had a really good year the year before. Would that be a sophomore year? There was a lot of hype coming in into this year. I feel like Drake May might have the biggest range of outcomes when we talk about these three guys. I feel like Jaden Daniels, you kind of know where you're getting with him. I don't know if his I just know what the range of outcomes is. Like the worst case scenario, he's a good runner. Decent thrower, you know. I think Caleb Williams is a high floor and high ceiling, like, if I'm being honest. And I feel like Drake May has a really low floor compared to these two guys. Like, he could be really bad, but you know what? He could be the best quarterback of the three of them, too. Like, I just feel like
elite arm talent.
Of unknowns. Elite arm talent. Good, like, big, strong, like, big guy, pocket passer, like, true pocket passer. I think he's the most variable. I also feel the least confident about him. Just like Will Levis. Like, honestly, like, the Will Levis stuff makes a lot of sense to me. Like, Will Levis, a guy his sophomore year, really good season, a lot of hype, kind of underperformed. You know, his team wasn't that good. A lot of arm talent, a big guy. Drake May, same thing. Like a lot of hype coming in, kind of underperformed at times. His team was just average at best, but extremely talented. And I think it's very tantalizing. I get why Evaluators really like him.
Yeah. So looking at his career stats here, last season he had, so 2022, he threw, where is it here? Sorry. 38 touchdowns. This season he threw 24. So like he's had two solid years, whereas Daniels, I thought, only had one, you know, 20, you know, 30 to, what was it? Sorry. So he dropped from 38 to 24. He got sacked 40 times in 22. He only got sacked 29 times this past year. I believe they're a little bit more pro style this year, where I think the year before they were more air raid, if I'm thinking right on this guy. So, you know, more running the ball, plus they didn't have their best running back. You know, like I said, arm talent alone puts this guy in the first round. I think if he goes to the right spot, he could be really good. I really don't want him to go to the Patriots. What would be interesting is if he's there at four, do you think the Cardinals take him and try to get rid of Kyler Murray, or do you think they take a wide receiver? Because if he doesn't go Bears, Commanders, Patriots, after that is Cardinals. They act like they don't want a quarterback. Then you go Chargers. They act like they don't want a quarterback, unless Chargers trade Herbert for a haul. And then you have New York Giants. Do New York Giants, you know, they're acting like they like Daniel Jones right now.
I don't think there's any way that the three top teams don't take a quarterback, Trent. Just is my opinion. I have a hard time
seeing. What if the top three teams go Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and it has to be him. There's a lot of there was a lot of smoke last week about J.J. McCarthy. I don't think May doesn't go there. Like, May's going to stay in the top three.
Yeah.
It would be interesting if that happened, though, because after the Patriots, it's Cardinals, Chargers, Giants, Titans, Falcons, Bears. Like, none of those teams act like they want a quarterback. Like, if I'm the Giants and I see Drake May there, I think I'm tempted to pull the trigger, honestly. Like, I know Daniel Jones has been hurt and all this stuff, but I don't know. Like, Vikings, I think if he's still there at three, I think the Vikings are going to send a lot potentially to the Patriots to try to get Drake May.
Yeah, that wouldn't shock me either.
You know, I think Vikings, if Drake May's at three, Vikings do everything they can to trade up and try to get him, because Drake May with Justin Jefferson, that would just be a lot of fun. Weaknesses, he just sometimes misses throws. Okay. Like, you know, I don't know why.
And a little bit of exhaustion. He just kind of like, I think it was even in his, was it pro day or the combine? Like I think he was just starting to get exhausted. That's why I don't understand why people don't like Penix more in these situations with Penix has the long gun, man. That guy can throw the deep ball over and over again. Whereas I think this guy, there's a little bit of it's not conditioning, but it's just like, I just don't feel like he's as accurate long term, whereas I don't think Penix wavers. And I'm not just saying that as a UW fan, but I wouldn't be surprised if Penix sneaks up a little bit higher than this guy.
Well,
now we're getting ahead of ourselves because we're going to cover Penix. But
yeah. Well, I'll wait for what I have with Penix. But it seems, you want me to just say it? I'll just say it.
Sure. Tell us, Trent.
Yeah, JPA Football. I really like these guys on X. Report Matt Miller has yet to speak with a team that has Michael Penix as a first round pick in this year's draft. Age and injury concern could play a part of this. Penix is the guy with the biggest variation between the public and teams. I haven't talked to, I haven't talked to one team that says, hey, we got to go get him in the first round. So, you know, JPA is thinking that he might be a guy that falls to the second round, which second round, you know, that'd be like a fan favorite if he's in the second round, where guys are like, hey, we like Penix. We want to see him. You know what I'm saying? And that could be the best case scenario that happens to Penix, because I don't know if you really want to go to any of those teams. But I loved Penix this year. I know Jordan loved Penix this year. Do you want to just go to Penix and we'll come back, Phil? You know, we can be our
we can come. So
kind of go under there. But speaking of underdog fantasy, guys, great place to play DFS, big place to play best ball. Head over to Underdog. It's easy. You draft him and you forget it. That's all you do. They also got some everyday plays. You pick the higher, you pick the lower. If you like simple, fast, and fun, then Underdog Sports is for you, where you can pick them, watch them, and win them. Choose higher, lower, 2 to 5 of your favorite player stats. The more you pick, the more you win. Get 5 picks right and 20 times your money. It's built for fans, and you win your money that same day. Pick them and draft them on your home turf. Promo code DUDES, match up to $100. Thank you to Underdog, guys. Go over there and check them out. Underdog Fantasy, great place for fantasy sports. Phil, what do you got next here?
Yeah, we said we're going to move over. Michael Penix, 6'2", 216. Trent, you gave a little bit of a breakdown there from, what was it, JPA football that you read off there. And Jordan, anything you want to say? I know you have your rep in Penix there behind you. Excuse me.
Yeah, I really like Michael Penix. I understand like the concerns. Like I'm reading right now, two torn ACLs in his right knee, multiple injuries to his non-throwing shoulder. But he played 13 games in both 2022 and 23. So, yeah, I mean, I think his arm strength's really good. I think he's just a gamer. And I just really enjoyed watching him play this year. But again, he had elite weapons to throw to. McMillan, Adunze, Jalen Polk. I think there's a couple other ones I'm forgetting. He had elite weapons. Bernard, I think Westover, the tight end. Like, just really good weapons to throw to. Really good coach, really good offensive coordinator. Like, just like really catered around him. And, but again, like, he's just a guy I want to root for. I understand the concerns. He is old, right? Like, he's on the older side. I think he's probably 24 years old. But I think he could be a really good fit in the right situation, you know, like a second round pick, goes to the right team, maybe sits behind a guy for a year. I think, worst case scenario, he is a good backup in the NFL, you know. A guy that you probably feel comfortable coming in and taking over. I think his ceilings, I don't know. Like, I get it, though. I get the concerns, but I also think that he could be a pretty solid NFL quarterback.
Yeah. I just want to clarify. I misspoke earlier. I said Caleb Williams played Oregon twice this year and couldn't beat him. What I meant, it was Michael Penix played Oregon twice and he beat them both times, which I think both is a time. Big deal. Yeah. You know, to play a team that good and beat them both times. So Caleb Williams did not play Oregon twice. So sorry about that.
But I will say, in the biggest game of his life, he did not play well.
Yeah, I felt like his team kind of got dummy bagged, right? Like
he did not look good.
He did not look good, but he also had no time to throw, Jordan.
Yeah, no.
Which it's going to be like that every single game in the NFL, right? I mean, he'll probably have some good pass protection, but like he did look shaken. Like at the end of the game, it looked like he was seeing double out there.
A lot of his concerns is the arm strength's there, but the accuracy, right? That's a lot of concern. And in that game, it was shown off where the arm strength was there, but the accuracy was not there in that championship game. So, but I'm a Penix guy. I'm be rooting for Penix. So,
yeah, his strengths are strong arm, not afraid to go deep, good sideline thrower. Most of his production was outside throws. He has a very long windup. You know, that doesn't always do well in the NFL. And, you know, it seems like lefties kind of have funky windups. Seth, you know, you like, you know, Seahawks. You were on the Penix train early for him going to Seattle. Honestly, if Seattle got him in the second round, I think that'd be a really nice play right there. But
yeah,
Seth, anything you got on Penix?
Yeah, I think, I'd love the Seahawks drafting him. I think if you get him in the second round, that's great value. The Seahawks offense has a bunch of weapons, did some stuff to revitalize the defense in the free agency. So hopefully, you know, the Seahawks could hopefully grab him. You know, I wouldn't mind other quarterbacks too that we mentioned earlier, but unfortunately, I feel like the late round quarterbacks, he's the best guy to go with. And I'm fine taking a shot there. You know, every once in a while, you got to take a shot and maybe you'll hit one. So, I mean, I like him. I like the way he played. I watched a ton of his games, you know, cheered for the guy. So, yeah, it's exciting.
And that's what's weird is, like, we get to these draft situations and, like, this is just the guy that, like, you know, the people on X, all the fans love Penix, but it's just like the NFL execs just don't see it, or they see something totally different that they don't like him. I know Seth like has a purple do-rag that he wears in honor of Penix and all that stuff, but like the fans, you know, they like Penix. So, and it's just weird when the social media guys get bigger than what the execs are actually seeing, you know, and that's what's so fun about the draft is, you know, maybe somebody, you know, gets to a point that they just want to go grab this guy and they go get him in the first round. They trade up, you know, like
it's,
I don't know.
It's funny, Trent, because the next guy we're going to talk about, I feel like are the exact opposite when it comes to that stuff, right? Like,
yes, Penix exactly. Fan
favorite, the public loves Penix. The people, the general managers, the people that get paid to do this, like, don't really love him. The next guy we're going to talk about, JJ McCarthy, I feel like a lot of people don't like him, but the people who matter love him. And I don't get it, you know, but like, we can just transition to them.
Trent does.
Like,
yeah. What, just one thing before we go to him,
All right.
Michael Penix to the Cleveland Browns, I think would be really good. You know, he's the backup, yep. Potentially gets to start, ends up becoming a hero. But Michael Penix, you know, Cleveland Browns, I don't think they have a first round pick. But yeah, they have no first round pick. So I'd have to look at their draft board. But if the Cleveland Browns can snag Michael Penix, I feel like that'd be a really good spot for him. You know, maybe he sits back there for a year or two. Shoot, if, you know, when was the last time Watson even played a full year? Maybe he gets some action, you know, right away with good running backs and all that stuff. I feel like Cleveland's a really good place for a young QB. But Phil, you want to take us to the next QB? You can.
Trent, can we all just say, you know what, Trent? You're speaking logic here, and I think we're going to lose that one. It's rare, and I think we're going to lose that when we move over to J.J. McCarthy. 6'3", 219, J.J. McCarthy. I'm going to put myself on mute, take a little potty break real quick. I'll be right back.
TMI, man. Save that for the Manscaped promo, you weirdo. Okay, anyways, J.J. McCarthy, strengths. I can't believe he just said potty break. Like, could he have said anything else? Like, Seth, come on. Like, help me out here, Seth.
It's embarrassing. I'm sorry that, you know, we still let this guy on the pod, you know, just because we're friends with him. But anyways, we make him feel at home when he's on here. You know, it makes his day, makes his week, you know, so.
All right.
He's not here, so I keep saying it, so.
It's true. It's true. We would never tell him that to his face. We know he's not going to listen to this.
We know he's not going to listen back to it. So
exactly. So what do I got? JJ McCarthy comes from a pro style offense, winner, good, clean throwing motion, weaknesses, slender build, tends to lock on reads, and just has games where they won, where he only threw 8 passes. You know what I'm saying? So like, Jordan, go off on JJ McCarthy. Like, I'm, you know, drinking the Kool-Aid here and all this stuff. But then it's like, is this some kind of chess game where like Harbaugh's wanting someone to just take this guy? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's really weird that a former college coach is talking. It's weird that a coach is talking this highly about a guy when he's probably not going to be coaching him. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I don't see it is the problem. When I watch JJ McCarthy, like, I just don't see it. I guess I watched him, you know, in the college, the playoff. I don't know. It's hard for me because I just like when he doesn't pass the eye test for me. I get like the upside. I get like, I don't know. I didn't even think he had that good of an arm when I watched him play. So like, I don't know. He's hard for me because like, obviously, like I think the people that are saying that he's worth it are smart. And I'm not trying to like, because they're obviously getting paid to this and I'm not, but like, I just don't see it. He doesn't pass the eye test for me. I don't see NFL talent when I watch him play, but maybe there's truth to like, he was held back in that offense. He wasn't able to showcase what he can do, but on the flip side, like, I just didn't see it. And so it's hard. I don't know. I struggle with him quite a bit.
So he had a decent game in the Fiesta Bowl versus TCU. He actually threw 343 yards, 2 TDs, 2 interceptions. He went 20 for 34. That was maybe one of his better games. But looking at his career stats, he threw 22 touchdown passes the last 2 seasons. He only threw 4 interceptions. Maybe this is just one of those things where Harbaugh just, you know, held him back a little bit and didn't really like, they didn't need him. That's the problem. You know what I'm saying? And that's what holds him back, where we just don't really know. Phil, you a McCarthy guy? What are you thinking?
I don't know. To be quite honest with you, I kind of make fun of you for just being in love with him. But I also, I don't know. I honestly haven't looked into it enough or researched him enough. I would just tend to side with Jordy a little bit on this one. And I, like I already said, I think there's other guys in this area. The other thing that I would say about this guy is he had a I mean, he had a great running game that he could really heavily rely on last year. Isn't that right?
Well, like he had a good running game last year. What were you saying? Yeah. Sorry.
He had a really good
running, elite
running game. Like,
so I don't know. That helped. Game
possible.
And I mean, I guess, I mean, Penix had some elite wide receivers and had a decent running game too. But I'm just saying, like, his running game was crazy. McCarthy's was. So it kind of, I don't know, may have hurt his stats a little bit, if that makes sense. So I don't know where I'm going with that. I'm 50-50 on the guy. I'm not one way or the other, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah. And looking at his, you know, just some of the games he played in, like, he just wasn't needed. Kind of weird. They beat. Okay, let me make sure I'm on the right year here. Sorry about that.
They amazing beat Washington. Amazing running game. Like,
okay, I just want to make so ESPN schedule's kind of funky on. Sorry, Google schedule's kind of funky. So they beat Ohio State 30-24. They beat Maryland 31-24. They spanked Purdue. They beat Penn State 24-15. Indiana 52-7. Like, there's not beat Nebraska 45-7. Like, I don't know. I just don't feel like they ever just like opened it up for them. You know, like I think the defense was so good that they just, it's just an all around really good team. It's just, and it's weird how we just have Harbaugh just like best pro day I've ever seen. Have you guys watched any of the throws from his pro day? Like, I didn't, you know, they even like releasing those, because like I watched his throws
in the middle of a game. Like, I don't, like, he just couldn't make throws in games. Like, and it's just like, I don't know.
Well, it's just weird because I hear all these pro days, and you know, you hear like Caleb Williams's pro day and how amazing it was. Zach Wilson's pro day a couple years ago, and there's that one throw they show over and over. I hear about JJ McCarthy and how good his pro day was, but I don't see any of the like highlights. You know what I'm saying? Whereas like in the past, when I hear about amazing pro days, there's all kinds of film on X and you just like, you just see it. I haven't seen any of these. I've just heard hearsay of how good it is. And that's what's kind of concerning to me. And I'm not a huge JJ McCarthy. I just, you know, kind of maybe fell for, you know, a little bit of the bait that I was given last week. You know, like, I'm not a big Michigan guy. We do have a lot of Michigan listeners though, and they haven't reached out and defended him. You know what I'm saying? So if you think JJ McCarthy's good, leave us a comment on TFF Dudes on YouTube and tell us if he's good or if he's not good. Also like this episode and all that good stuff. Do we need to talk any more about JJ McCarthy? It's really weird. We have a national championship quarterback. Teams are acting like he's going to go in the top four of the draft, but it's like no one like really has. Like, this seems like a lot of unknown for a guy that's getting this much hype.
Mm-hmm. Let's move over to.
But he does do yoga, so I'm surprised Phil's bashing him as much as he does. So, you know, Phil probably was doing the same thing, you know, same YouTube videos or something. So I don't know where you do those courses, but go, Phil.
Sure thing. All right. The next one.
Yeah, it's getting late, boys.
Bo Nix. We have this might be our last guy that we cover. Maybe we cover one or two of the other best of the rest.
Phil, just gut it out. How about that? Just gut it out.
Bo Nix, 6'2", 214. The guy is 35 years old and barely entering the NFL. He's a little bit older.
Thing. Yeah,
he's older. He feels like
he's been around forever, doesn't it? Like, I remember his freshman year at Auburn. That feels like it was like 10 years ago.
He beat Herbert. He beat Herbert in his first start. Remember at Auburn? It was crazy. In Dallas. Yeah. So like he played against Justin Herbert in college. Like he is very old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Herbert's been in the right league what 3 years?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll keep this short and sweet. I don't see it with Bo Nix in the NFL level. Like, honestly, I think the guy should maybe turn to a tight end or something. I don't know. Like, I don't see it. really good NFL college quarterback, you know, really good fantasy quarterback in college. But I don't know. I don't see it with Nix at the NFL level. But maybe he'll prove me wrong. But I also didn't think he was very good at Auburn and then somehow turned into this fantasy star at Oregon. So I don't know. Maybe he'll prove me wrong again. But I don't see it from an NFL level with Knicks.
So what I got for Knicks is strengths. He's mobile, avoids negative throws. I don't think he takes too many sacks. Smart player. Weaknesses, a lot of quick reads, quick offense. A lot of times throws to his very first read. You know, has some out of structure playmaking, could be okay in the right position. I think he's one of those guys that, you know, maybe he's a backup that people want to see on the field more, you know, so could see this guy going to like LA to be one of Stafford's backups or something. I don't know. I don't think we need to talk a ton about Bo Nix, but interesting college to career to say the least.
Didn't Stafford just get a backup?
He did, but you can get one of these young guys and throw him in there. I can't remember who Stafford's backup is. I'll look that up, Phil, while we move over to the best of the rest here.
Best of the rest. All right, Joe Milton. Let's talk about Joe Milton, folks.
Joe Milton, bazooka arm. They had to go outside for his pro day because they said he was going to hit the ceiling with the football. Weaknesses, doesn't have great ball placement, locks on primary reads, has the arm to play in the NFL. Instincts and accuracy
that's about
is
it.
Not great.
Oh, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Did you guys ever watch him play? Did you guys watch him play at Tennessee?
He had so much hype this offseason. It was very disappointing.
All he could do was throw 50-yard bombs. Like, literally, he could not make any throws on any out routes, anything in the middle of the field. Like, he could throw the bomb, but that's about it. This guy is extremely, like, yeah, you can see why.
It's
like
worse
very,
Anthony
like,
Richardson.
Yes. Like the size and the athleticism and the arm. Like, he's gonna get drafted because someone's gonna be like, I can make this guy work. Just don't know if it happens.
Yeah. Well, no, and that's what I thought. I thought this guy was gonna go to the combine and just blow the place up and it was gonna be Anthony Richardson all over again. But he didn't have that, you know, we didn't get that this with him. You know what I'm saying? And this guy's a total freak. And it's like, is it a poor man's Anthony Richardson? I don't know what to say because I was really high on Anthony Richardson. I can't get excited about Joe Milton III. I did a lot of sleeper plays with Joe Milton. And I did a lot of underdog with Joe Milton. Like early on in the year, I was just like, he got pumped up all offseason. I'm like, hey, this guy's going to tear up this, you know, Appalachian State or whoever it was that they were playing their first couple of games. And he just like, did not hit for me. Is he a decent?
He didn't even run the 40-yard dash either, huh?
I don't think so. I'm not sure.
No, he doesn't have a 40-yard dash listed. I don't think he ran it.
Yeah, he might not have done it. A lot of guys didn't do stuff. Seth, you watch any Milton or no?
I did not watch any, but I mean, I guess it's just like I think what Jordan said. Like someone's just going to take a Hail Mary at this guy, and hopefully they can turn him into something just because he has like the physical aspect of a NFL quarterback that you'd want, you know, like, I mean, just it's a long ball, you know, just the things he threw in college. It's a long ball. Someone's going to take a long ball on him. Hopefully it pans out, but I mean, I don't see it. You know, it's one of those ones where it's like, you'll have to be proven wrong by the guy. But I mean,
yeah. I just thought he was going to get that like Josh Allen, Anthony Richardson combine boost, and it did not happen with him. You know, they should have had him throw in the indoor practice facility, had him hit the ceiling a couple times. You know what I'm saying? Like, it couldn't have hurt. What are you thinking, Phil?
Well, I'm just looking at some of the stuff from his combine and listening like some of his weaknesses, and they basically just described what you guys did. Disturbing lack of placement and timing as a deep ball passer, completed just 38.6% of his throws beyond 10 yards, struggles with anticipatory throws, running receivers into collisions, telegraphs throws between the hashes, giving safeties an easy jump ball, desires to throw the ball through wide receivers rather than deliver with touch, inconsistent tying his feet to his eyes, squaring to his targets, frequently forces moving targets to break strides. Like,
but he can throw the ball 75 yards.
Yes.
You
yes,
know, exactly. And it's like, he can, it's one of those things where,
and like, and it's like, if you look at his strengths, elite size, throws blazing heat to beat coverage in tight windows, delivers long off platform throws, will stand his ground and take punishing hits to make throws. Like, none of it is like, like prestigious accuracy or can move the ball downfield with ease. Like, it's just like basically what you guys describe. I kind of feel bad for this guy. Like, it was kind of like the Michael Scott thing. Like, my greatest weaknesses are my strengths, basically. Like, just willing to take a beating to get my team to go. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I hope that actually now I'm rooting for Joe Milton now. I'm all in.
I want Milton to be good. I thought he was going to hit this combine bump. It did not happen. Like, maybe it's because he just didn't have that signature moment. Like, Richardson had that signature win when he beat Utah and just went absolutely crazy. Milton, it just was not there. I don't know, like, what his I don't know. They say he can contribute to RPO game immediately, confident throwing outside the numbers, especially deep, is what it says here. So yeah, I don't need, so yeah, Joe Milton, best of the rest. You know, maybe someone can develop him. I don't
Denver.
Know. Maybe
I say he goes to Denver and just
Maybe Shanahan picks him up to be Brock Purdy's backup and then trades him in a couple years. I don't know. Who do we got next, Phil?
Yep. So we have three remaining. Jordan Travis. Do we want to spend a lot of time in talking about this guy?
Jordan loves
who are the three, Phil? What's the three you have left? Why don't we just do it like that?
This is what I was saying, Jordan. This is exactly what I'm saying. I'm so glad you spoke up.
Hey, sorry you guys don't like having long pods. You just named the
three you have left.
Jordan Travis, Spencer Rattler, and Sam Hartman.
Phil told me to
put Hartman in there because Phil likes his necklace and loves Notre Dame.
I think Sam Hartman has probably the best talent. Spencer Rattler's enigma. Like, you never know what you're gonna get. The guy had so much hype coming out of high school, and I don't know. He's
Hartman's
whatever.
Arm is just so weak. Like, Seth might throw just as far as Hartman.
Definitely not.
But Hartman wasn't like at Wake Forest. Hartman was really good, Trent. And that's where I struggle. Yep. You know, I have good priors on him at Wake Forest. I don't know. I kind of, you didn't mention him. I kind of like Austin Reed out of Western Kentucky, but
I've seen that. But yeah, I felt like that was
just
even
throws it all over. Like, I think he's better than what's the guy at Western Kentucky who's in the Patriots? Blanking on his name.
Zappy.
Like, Zappy? He's better than Zappy, I think. But, like, it's a style where they just throw. So it's hard to know. And they play with a really good wide receiver, Malachi Corley. But, like, I think Austin Reed could be a sleeper in this draft. But, again, we're talking about down the line, guys. I don't know.
Yeah.
Any so D3 weaknesses? Guys you have your eyes on, Jordan, since we're going super? Okay.
What I'm reading on his profile is does not have the height or arm strength to attack over the middle of the field, has to put his whole body into throws beyond 45 yards, throws on his toes often due to his lack of height, off-platform forms have well below average velocity, a decent RPO threat, feet are light and bouncy, can hang tough
Who
in the pocket
Trent?
And go through progressions. That's all Hartman.
Hartman?
Hartman's right. I don't know.
One of these guys will get drafted a lot earlier than someone thinks.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Travis, good athlete, can run an RPO and play action offense, accurate throw within 50 yards, kind of has to put his whole body into his throws, though. Developmental quarterback and Rattler. My thing with Rattler is he got sacked a ton. His offensive line was absolutely terrible and does have his accuracy is good. Needs better post snap decision making. Kind of what you said, Jordan. We don't really know. And I think if he had a better offensive line, we might have a little better feeling on this because South Carolina, I felt like he was running for his life. But yeah, that is all of our. What are you saying, Phil?
The nice thing for some of these quarterbacks, and even probably some are for these, not so much the running backs, but yeah, I guess it's mostly just the quarterbacks, is like these guys are making so much money on NIL deals when they're in college, they can sit as a number two. I mean, they shouldn't want to, right? They should want to come in and be the starter, but it's not an emergency to be the number one right away to start making a lot of money. Do you get what I'm saying a little bit?
It helps.
Would you agree to that?
Yeah, it helps being the starting quarterback like, at Notre Dame. Like, yeah.
We want these guys to be competitive, right? We want them to want a starting job. You want you want them to be the number one, but they also can kind of be like, you know, I'm going to pull a Jordan Love and just back this guy up for 2 years, feel really good about where I'm at, and then come in slinging. You know what I'm saying? Anyhow.
Yeah. More teams need to do that and put those guys in the backup role. Mahomes, Jordan Love, both guys who didn't start their rookie year, kind of, you know, learn the ropes and, yeah.
Even Wilson.
So what?
Hasselback. Wasn't he a year behind Hasselback?
No. I think he was a couple more.
All right. My bad. Hey, that's my B.
Yeah. Before we get into divas, we did have a fan bring in some fan mail here. He would like to be anonymous. So we are going to go over to divas right now. But before then, you know, here is our anonymous message. So you guys listen to this.
Going to leave this message anonymously because I know Seth and Jordan can get a little sensitive. But I just wanted to go back to the nacho cheese and a hot dog take. Trent and Phil are 100% correct on that. Guys, let's leave the food takes to Trent and Phil. They're the guys that obviously you just look at them and you know they love food. They probably know what good food tastes like. Seth, you've been hitting the Peloton a lot lately and you think you're some great guy that's full of great fitness and health. But I remember a guy about 3 years ago that was 230 pounds named Seth Cossey that would have guzzled down that hot dog with nacho cheese on it. Maybe would have just inhaled it straight up. And Jordan, we all know why you're on the pod. You're there for the analytics and the fantasy football takes. So yeah, let's leave the food takes to Phil and Trent. Both guys have a pretty high BMI. Any true-blooded American would love to eat a hot dog with nacho cheese on it.
So there you have it. You know, I know this thing, this is just the gift that keeps on giving, but someone sent that in. So Seth, what do you have to say?
Well, that guy has an IQ of about below 50. But anyways,
hey, that's a listener, man. Be nice to listeners.
I guess what he says is not wrong. You're right. Like, I would destroy a hot dog, but if it has nacho cheese on it, I have the hard pass. I'm sorry. It's just disgusting. It doesn't belong on a hot dog.
All right.
We just want to thank that anonymous listener, though. Like, he came in.
We will thank them. Yes.
That anonymous listener, who knows? Maybe they got a gift card after they sent us that. Maybe they didn't.
Yeah.
You know, you never know. Maybe they got some life advice.
Yeah. Send us a video. You know, you don't even have to show your face. Send us an email at TFFdudes of the video for the pod. It must be age appropriate. We will not just put anything on this pod. Or if you don't want to do that, go to www.thefantasyfootballdudes.com. Hit the microphone. You can leave an audio message like that as well. And that was kind of like what we just had there. I added the hot dog and cheese there. So it looked delicious. Divas of the week. Let's run through divas here. Then we got a dudes decide, which is 2000s, you know, best things about the 2000s. What do you got here, Phil? Do you got a diva of the week? I have one.
Do you want to go first?
Mine here. No, yeah, wait. Let me run through mine. I'm going to go with Stephon Diggs as my diva of the week. You know, there's been a lot of off field drama, like just weird, like not off season drama, but it's just like, what are you doing, man? It looks like he's liking tweets that are against Josh Allen. I sent this to you guys. You know, like. I think the guy wants out of Buffalo, and the tweet that he tweeted at, I'm trying to find it here on X here. It said, where are we at here? And this is JPA football again. I do trust JPA, and the tweet said, it's hard to see here. Is Stephon Diggs essential to Josh Allen's success? He has been since he got in Buffalo in 2020. They are better together, and if Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen stay together with the Buffalo Bills this year, their championship window is wide open. And then this guy said, does Josh benefit from having a top-tier receiver? Yes. Is he essential to his success? No. And then Stephon Diggs replied to that, are you sure? So I do think that Josh Allen could be good without Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs definitely helps a lot, but I think this guy's getting old in his career. And he probably just needs to enjoy the ride. I still think he's very good. I still think he has a lot in the tank. But Stephon Diggs, you can't be, you know, going after your quarterback like this unless he really just wants to be, you know, is he like a little baby T.O. and he wants to get traded? I think he really wants to go to Dallas and he's trying to force his way out of Buffalo, which probably is good for Cowboys fans. But I just think it's silly to argue with fans over something like this. You know, these guys used to be Warzone partners. And the thing with Warzone partners, Seth, like, you know how it is, Seth. Like, those are your brothers, man. Like, you've seen real battle with those guys. Would you ever go after a war zone partner like this, Seth?
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah, I will Fortnite. Say though, Seth.
Unless I mean, it's Trent, then I'd totally turn my back on him.
Yes,
Seth. You know, you would be our little medic mule in Fortnite, and you know we would never leave you behind.
What are you even talking about? Like, what are we?
You know what, Seth? Don't even waste your time with these sweats. Just say what you want to say.
Phil, you need to get educated.
Thank you. Thank you, Seth.
Honestly.
Seriously. Seth has his battle ears on right now. We see that he's got his headset, mic's pushed up.
We could have safely assumed what those are. Yeah, like
don't ever say battle ears ever again.
Yeah,
that's what.
Now he's turned on you. He's turned on you. Your battle buddy or whatever you called him.
If you had seen what these eyes have seen on Call of Duty, Phil, what do you got here?
People who tell you what to do, or people who assume that you don't know what you're doing. Okay.
Okay.
And you know, like I'm a pretty unassuming guy, nice guy, friendly face. You know, there was a period of time where it might be described as cute, maybe from like 2009 to 2012, maybe. I don't know, but just very approachable, very brief. You know,
brief in the eyes of the beholder.
Did you get married in those 3 years?
Yeah, I got married in 2013.
There you go. You're fine then.
So,
and you were right. You're telling the truth, maybe.
I'm telling the truth. And so here's the thing. Like, I don't know if it's because I'm like just a nice person. I'm not going to like come down on somebody. Or if I don't know. I don't really know what it is. But there's two situations in the last several weeks that really just grinded my ears. So I thought I'd tell you about them. So I have small children, as you guys know, and with small children, you really like them to get their energy out. They like to go outside for them to be healthy. And just, you know, we take a lot of walks with my family. We walk all the time, get our kids out. Well, it was raining about 2 weeks ago, maybe it's a little bit less than that, than 2 weeks ago. And so in between the rain, I was like, hey, let's take the kids out for a walk, get them moving. It was after Sunday after church. They hadn't been outside a lot. So it was like, hey, let's go for a little walk. Get the kids moving, get some, and we had like an hour before the rain's going. Well, this Yahoo, he's just like, you know, blowing his leaves off his sidewalk across the street. We're walking and we're walking through town, through a little neighborhood. And he goes, hey, you know, it's about to rain any second now, right? Why are you guys walking? And I'm like, dude, what are you talking about? Like, we're just out on a, like, number one, who are you? I don't know who you are. You're like, yes, I guess technically you are my neighbor, but you're like not a friend and I've never met you before. Number two, I'm out here with my family just taking a nice little peaceful walk and you just interject your comment about the weather. Like, yeah, dude, I know it's going to rain. Like, I know the situation. Everyone has the weather app on their phone. It's 2024, man. I think it came out in like 2015. I don't need for you to be a weather forecaster for me. And that just really made me mad. Not 2 days later, I'm at Sprouts, which is another place that's, you know, it's not Trader Joe's. I think you guys might like it a little bit better. They have some good barbecue stuff there. They have some good stuff that just, you know, it's a good grocery store. Anyhow, I'm with my daughters. I'm going to get some kombucha for them. They like kombucha. I like kombucha. It's a good drink. I think anyone on this pod would enjoy it. And this
diva for drinking kombucha.
This lady who's effectively two aisles over, I'm like, hey, what do you guys think? Should we try this flavor? I don't know what it is. It was like, you know, tangerine something. It sounded pretty good. And as I'm grabbing it, she goes, no. You know, that's kombucha, right? And I was like, number one, you either were not listening to this entire conversation that I just had with my children, or number two, you're just seriously overstepping my opportunity as a parent here to get a delicious treat. She's like, that is kombucha. You know, your kids are going to like that. I'm like, yes. Like, you haven't walked around with me my home life. Like, this is something we do. So I'm like, why are these people just so willing to tell me what to do? I don't know. This is not necessarily a funny diva, but it's just like, where are people getting off in 2024 where they just feel like they can insert themselves into your lives to help you make decisions? Do you get what I'm saying a little bit? Does that bother anybody Absolutely. Else here?
Yeah, I agree.
If I saw you and I knew it was going to rain and I saw you without an umbrella, I'd just be like, bless this guy's heart. I better just, you know, tell this guy it's going to rain. Because, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's just being nice.
Yeah, but Trent, you know, Phil, the issue is when you're a total stranger, you just feel the need to, like, butt in and like tell you like you're doing something wrong. And it's like, no, like I know what I'm doing, you know? Like
If I did a lot of things wrong, yes, it would probably bug me. So yeah, I'm on your side.
Most of my life is smooth sailing. And then I have this hipster next to me in the Sprouts grocery store telling me not to enjoy a can of kombucha with my family because, you know, they're worried about the probiotics. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know.
I feel like only hipsters drink kombucha. Can we agree?
Does anyone
that?
Else like, on this pod drink kombucha?
I don't know what kombucha is.
Jordan, you would hate it.
I don't
Seth,
know.
Seth, have you had kombucha?
I've tried it and it is absolutely terrible. Why would I want to drink like fermented pond water?
Okay.
Thank you, Seth.
All right.
Thank you.
Seth, you're not wrong. Initially, you will taste it and you're like, this is not that good. But if you're selective and choose the right stuff, it is delicious. It tastes so good. It does have a little bit of an apple cider vinegar taste.
He likes chewing his drink. That's what he likes.
But no, exactly. Kombucha is delicious. You all need to get on that kombucha train.
Yeah, I have some. I'll just leave some milk in my fridge and let it get rotten. Then I'll bring it over to you. That's about what kombucha tastes like.
Trent, I couldn't like, pray for to, like, that to happen to you if it actually did. Like, I would. That would be a dream come true if you drank spoiled milk and had to go on a sales call for 4 hours. Like, nothing would make me happier if you were wearing white pants after that happened and you had to be out in public. Like, I hope you drink spoiled milk.
I would drink it and I would spit it out, like, because you know that's what I did when I tried. This kombucha
I've
fat
seen
happened,
you
know, in 2020. I saw this kombucha thing happen in 2020. I was like, hey, I'm gonna try this stuff. I was like, that is the most disgusting thing I have ever put my lips on, and that's
I know your body rejects health. It's crazy. It's mind-blowing how much your body fights against health.
Nacho cheese on literally everything. You know, people who put nacho cheese on everything probably aren't the type of people.
Trent,
like, hey,
I've seen cool. you make a corn
nacho
dog
cheese
out
is
of
cool, but people who eat nacho cheese on hot dogs aren't the people drinking kombucha, Phil.
All right,
like,
you
want to
hear the most
disgusting
thing Trent has done? I've seen him basically hollow out a Twinkie and put a hot dog in between. So, like, so if you want to talk to me
lie.
About nacho
total
cheese,
total lie.
He essentially made a Twinkie corn dog in front of my eyes and it made me absolutely sick.
I have not tried that, but if someone offered it to me, I probably would. Jordan, what do you got here?
I have no diva today. I'm taking a pass.
All right. I am going to hop over here into our Dudes Decide. Guys, if you like these Dude Decides, let us know. You know, tweet us. Comment, whatever, all that good stuff. Give us a like and let us know if there's topics you'd want us to cover. I got best things about the 2000s, and how this works is I'm going to give, you know, I think I have five things here that were my favorite things from the 2000s. The guys are going to grade them at the end. It's going to seem like a little bit of a solo show. Guys will grade them. Give me the thumbs up, thumbs down.
No,
I think we should have
like
three.
A solo show. It won't. The person who gave you that feedback. Someone gave, and I'm going bad.
Bill,
on
can you center yourself a little bit more on the
someone
camera,
who gave
sorry.
Someone who gave Trent that feedback said that it sounds like a solo show when we do Dudes Decide. And I love the guy, but I can't believe he said that. So anyhow, yeah. It doesn't sound like a solo show.
Salt of the earth guy, man. You know, Phil, you don't even know Jack. You don't know Jack. So anyways, that's his name. But let's keep going here. All right, let me just give you a brief little, you know, I got some notes here. So let me just do this here. So 2000s, you know, best things about the 2000s. And sorry, Phil, Hot Topic is not on my list. You know, I know you were a frequent shopper there. It started with everyone panicking about Y2K, the moment when all the computers were supposed to crash, sending us back to the Stone Age, and we all felt a bit silly stocking up on canned beans and bottled water. The 2000s were a blender of pop culture, tech booms, and fashion crimes. Served with a side of dial-up internet tones, it was a time we all just, you know, were a little bit lost between analog and digital worlds, navigating through with a map that was constantly being redrawn. So, guys, this is the 2000s. Here's some of the stuff I have. Seth, when were you born? You know, just for a reference point.
I was born in 1999. Reference points.
Okay. So you caught a little bit of this. You know, you don't remember Y2K, but you do, you know, you did catch some of this. So perfect. Anyways, I'm going to go with fashion, best fashions of the 2000s. I got bleached hair, puka shells, DC shoes, PacSun trips, and going to the outlets with their dudes. You know what I mean? So you guys remember the bleached hair days? You remember that?
And are you starting top? No. You're going five down, or are you just choosing five? Like, how are you doing? You're starting off pretty low on the grade scale because you explained nothing and just dove into it.
You're about to explain anything. I said best things about the 2000s.
Then you said clothing, and then you listed off like 19 different things.
I have like totally different topics. These are like my number ones for each one.
Okay. All right. I'll try and follow.
Not here. One category is the same. You could do a whole nother episode of this just off of these categories. And maybe we'll lean into this, you know, in a couple of weeks and go back into it.
All right.
But I went with fashion, you know. So that, like, bleached hair, puka shells. Phil, were you a puka shell guy? I had puka shells. It's probably why I like Puka Nacua so much. And DC shoes. You ever have a pair of those, Phil? Yes.
Yep. Those are classy.
Gordon, you have a pair of DC shoes?
I don't think I'd ever got a pair of the DC shoes.
With those huge fat lips. Yep. Etnies. Never had Etnies. I had DCs.
What about audios, Jordan?
No, I wasn't really into those shoes. But like, also, I was in fifth, sixth grade, and like, you guys were probably in junior high when those were coming out. So like, that a few year gap, like, yeah, it's like it's kind of a big deal. I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of older people had those. The guys older than I was.
Yeah. It's Seth. You remember DC shoes? Did you ever have a pair? Or were you a Vans guy?
No, I never had a pair. I've always been a Vans guy.
Yeah. I was a Vans guy too. Hair.
I do remember
the bleach chair was big.
Yeah.
The bleach chair was really big. All right. Next,
that was kind of a 90s thing too, though, right? That kind of bled over.
Yeah, it did bleed
maybe
over.
Maybe a little bit.
Tito Ortiz kind of spearheaded it.
I don't. I saw that way before Tito Ortiz.
That was like a boy band thing, right?
Yeah, it was.
Like maybe so.
Thing, Backstreet Boy, yeah.
And the boy bands were great. Aaron Carter. You know, Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, Bye Bye Bye. Like, you know, it was just a great time to be alive with all that stuff. Blink 182, not a boy band, but a good band. I got, entertainment here. Movie rental stores. Blockbuster in particular. You could go rent video games. You could rent movies. Now we have Netflix, Hulu. We spent more times going through Netflix and Hulu than what we did at Blockbuster. You go to Blockbuster. Remember, Please Rewind. Please Be Kind. Rewind. You know what I'm saying? Like, Blockbuster hardly caught the DVD fad. Like, they caught the end of it. Then it went digital, right? Like, they caught the DVD fad, but it was more, I always remember Blockbuster is more of a VHS thing. And I know that wasn't true. Any of you guys ever experienced Game Rush? Seth, you would have loved Game Rush. You know, it was the store in Blockbuster that sold video games.
Well, I was trade just video say, games. I rented video games from Blockbuster.
Oh, yeah. You could rent video games. Yeah.
Like, it was one of those things where like, the Blockbuster thing and like that, the fact that went in the last 20 years has changed so much is kind of insane if you think about it. Seth, did you ever go to Blockbuster?
Yeah, I went all the time.
Okay. I didn't know when that kind of went. I remember, like, it was a big deal to go to Blockbuster, man. I remember my dad be like, hey, can we go to Blockbuster? It was like a treat, you know? Like, let's go pick it out. And we all had to, you know, you have two brothers, you all got to agree on one, and that doesn't ever go out, turn out well. But, you know, like, yeah, there was. Very good memories going to Blockbuster.
So let's just think here. What year do you guys, without Googling it, what year do you think Blockbuster closed?
Like around where we live?
11.
I was going to say 10.
Where we lived. 2014. Wow, that's crazy. There's still one left in Oregon that you can go to and rent movies. And they sell a lot of TV, you know, a lot of movie memorabilia, all that stuff. But yeah, Blockbuster, like, you know, you go in there, you get your candy, you get your movie, video games. Always would rent, you know, probably game I rented the most was Star Fox on Nintendo 64.
Yes.
I never could beat that Space Centipede level, it's only the second level, but I really struggled with that one. But yeah, Star Fox, I rented more than any other game. Remember renting a Superman game a couple times, but, Blockbuster was really good. Star Fox was great. I'd like to do a 2000 video game, you know, dudes decide too. I think that'd be good as well. This is another, you know, maybe this is kind of piggyback off of it. Peak video games. We had a thing called LAN parties. Okay. We all would meet up at one house and play Halo on multiple TVs. Okay. So, and that was really fun. You'd have four TVs, four guys per TV. They'd all be hooked up. There was no online. So you'd have me yelling at guys in the same house. Total fun. The LAN parties, you know, I've done one. I did one about a year ago and it was great. We all played Halo. It's a lot of fun having everyone in one room. Also peak Madden, in my opinion. Madden 2006 had Ray Lewis on the front. They invented the hit stick that year, and it revolutionized the game. Unfortunately, Madden hasn't done anything that big since 2006. Everything's just a replay. But back then, they were doing different things, you know, and the hit stick was amazing, and that changed the game. But they haven't done anything that drastic since, in my opinion. So peak video games and just hanging out with friends. Like, you couldn't play online, really, with people in the 2000s. Like, that was, you know, we caught the end of like that modern warfare days and stuff like that in the late 2009, 2008. But, you know, meeting at guys' house to have those LAN parties, nothing, you know, I'm still trying to chase that high. You know what I'm saying?
Trent, it's a Friday night. You would have crazy ones at your house.
It'd be crazy. It'd be absolutely crazy. It's Friday night. It would be
like four TVs going, but there would be like 60 people there.
That's way too much,
but it would be like, there would be a lot of people at your house.
It was close to 30 usually, probably. Yeah. And people would want to come. Guys would pick their teams, come hang. Hey, I can't even explain it. You just had to be there. Seth, have you ever experienced a LAN party early 2000s?
Yeah. So I definitely caught on, like, started playing later in the 2000s. Obviously when I was a little bit older, my parents let me, but yeah, I did experience that more, like, having a bunch of guys come and we'd bring our stuff and we'd all play together like that. I never got anywhere that big just because, like, that's when you were able to play online, and then that's when it switched to I'd play with my friends online instead of all coming together. That only lasted for a few years.
Yeah.
Or like maybe like one or 2 years, really.
Yeah, we would just do that, like, just pray that someone didn't call the fire marshal, because we were definitely, you know, outside of like the amount of people that should have been allowed inside my house, and, you know, and
oh, for sure.
My dad'd be yelling, you know, to be quiet. He was trying to go to sleep, all kinds of stuff. Then next on my list, music. I already talked about music. The iPod. Okay, we had the iPod. Yeah, that was a pretty big deal. You know, like, people had iPods, people had Zunes, MP3 players. You didn't just have all that on your phone. You actually had like huge cargo pants, which I could talk about. You have your wallet in your pants, you'd have your phone in your pants, and then you'd have your iPad, and then you'd probably have headphones in one pocket too. But you'd have those cargo pants just stuffed to the brim full of stuff. And if, you know, if you're, you know, real neat, you know, you had probably some Skittles or something in there as well. But iPod plus LimeWire. We got all our music for free. And, you know, we also got a virus on our parents' computer also. So you had, you know, LimeWire, free music. Yeah, all it cost was your parents' computer. And then just a little side note here, Razer phones. Absolutely great phone. It had Snake on it and Bejeweled. Those Razer phones, everyone knew how to use them. They've made a comeback. I think iPhone's going to make a flip phone soon too. But there was nothing like when you were like mad at someone just slamming that flip phone shut. You know what I'm saying? Like, instead of the hang up, like, it was just a lot more satisfying. Jordan, did you get into the LimeWire? You dip your toe in that or no? Or was that a little too early?
Yeah, there was another one too, though. What was the other one besides LimeWire?
Was it Napster? Napster?
I think no, Napster there was a third one.
Those two were like kind of before. Napster was the first one. LimeWire, when I was in junior high, I used a different one though. Man, I got to think about what. I used LimeWire a little bit, but I also used
Rhapsody or something, or there was a couple.
Oh yeah, Rhapsody was one. Here's the problem. I lived out in the country.
Frostwire.
Growing up.
I used Frostwire.
Frostwire. Yep.
I lived out in the country growing up, and we had absolutely no internet. Like I was never able to. If I got any music, it would be like it burned a CD onto a computer, and then a computer onto
CDs.
Do you know what
that
I'm saying?
Was like, great
you,
too.
You had to upload your buddies. You had to get your buddies to do it for you. You burn it onto a CD.
Well, you put it onto a CD, then you upload it into your iPod, and then you can actually like listen to some music. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't have internet until I was in college. I didn't even have internet when I was in college. Insane. I don't think. Yeah.
Well, and then you look at it too. It's like, what's it called? You look at it and it's like, remember those, like those, burned CDs? Like those hit really hard, man. Like, you know, people would burn you a CD, like, hey, you gotta listen to this, you know, like all kinds of good stuff came from burnt CDs.
You might have a cute girl give you a burned CD, you know, and that
like,
was,
hey, these songs remind me of you. And it was just like, you know, Weird Al Yankovic or something. I don't know. But yeah, burnt CDs were great. And someone would give you one, then you could put that stuff on there. And then, what else do I have here? You know, I accidentally just deleted some of my, oh no, maybe I didn't. I got, MySpace, you know, another computer one. MySpace, yep. You had your top 8 friends, bulletins about clowns. We got to pimp our pages, cool songs. We collected friends like we did Pokemon. You know what I mean? Like, you were adding all kinds of people. And then, like, you know, after a big football game, you might put a bulletin out there. Then someone from the team you played might have read it and stuff like that. Like, it was just really fun having the bulletins and stuff like that. And then I quit reading bulletins altogether. I read one that like said, if you don't repost this, there should be a clown under your bed with a knife. And then that was the end. I reposted it. This is not opening another bulletin ever again. But remember all those like spam bulletins, Phil? And then you could like pick your song and like,
I didn't have internet. I had to be at like a friend's house to be like, hey, let me log into my MySpace.
So you were a friend of mine on MySpace.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
You were nowhere near my top 8, but you
absolutely were a friend of mine on MySpace. Thank goodness.
Yeah, I think your brother had a picture of like Jim Edmonds making a diving catch on his MySpace or something, but not Jim Ed. Maybe it no, was Jim Edmonds.
Yeah, I think it was Jim Edmonds. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, a little baseball trivia for
Jim
you.
Edmonds with the Angels, then to the Cards, right?
Yeah. So what I had fashion, which was bleach hair, puka shells. I had movie rental stores, peak video game experiences, the iPod plus LimeWire. Then I had MySpace. And then, sorry, Jordan, I didn't put Harry Potter or friendship bracelets on here. I'm not a Harry Potter guy. Seth probably had a bedazzler back then. But yeah, what do you guys think here? Like, what's, you know,
things you missed?
Yeah, give me something I missed.
All right. So one of the big things that you missed in the 2000s was planking. Come on. How did you miss a fad?
I feel like that was
planking.
Like 2011.
No, yeah, it was before.
No one planked when I was in high school.
Planking.
No one planked when I was in high school.
Ashton Kutcher's Punked was in early 2000s. I don't know if you guys ever saw that show. That was a good one that came across. Planking. Internet memes, I believe, started in the 2000s, although you didn't really have access to them. At least not I did.
YouTube.
Believe it or not, sushi, while that was always a thing, kind of became more popular, I would say, probably in America around 2000s. Food trucks became a really big deal, and so did frozen yogurt in 2000s. Some of the other things that I thought might be helpful, yoga became pretty popular in 2000s. It's very on topic since we've talked about that a little bit. And also kickboxing, MMA inspired workouts, and CrossFit. So those are just some other things that kind of became popular in the 2000s.
I was right. Planking didn't become popular till 2011, so scratch that from your list.
This was also not my list, so I was just helping you out here. Planking
would have happened when I was in high school. I probably would have put it on there.
When did you look up when did planking come out?
I said, what year? I went on ChatGPT. I said, what year did planking become popular? And it said, planking became particularly popular in 2011 when it went viral on social media platforms and garnered media attention worldwide. This was the year it truly became a global phenomenon, with many participants sharing their planking photos from various locations.
So first ever occurred in planking was 1994. So we're both wrong, because it would be before the 2000s.
No one,
it's when the fad starts.
Yeah, the first text message was sent in like 1958 or something.
Here's the thing. Your list was terrible. And the way that you laid it out.
I'm
giving you another D minus. The way
I give Trent.
Shut your mic off and walk off the pod. Do me a favor.
I give Trent an A. I thought it was a great list. I thought it was really good.
Dude,
well done.
Jordan, are you serious?
Well done.
You are ridiculous. You are trash, Jordan. I can't wait to
Phil, your vote means nothing.
and your knees are weak, your palms are sweaty, and I'm just going to light you up in the comments once you actually do one of these. I cannot believe it.
Go, Seth. Seth was too young.
Yeah, honestly, Seth doesn't even know line
bars.
D minus, Seth. Give it to him. Give him the trade. To go to sleep.
Seth's thinking too hard about this for him to actually have a vote.
You know, I think, I don't know. I think you got some like things that were pretty relative.
Relevant?
Yeah. That's probably a B. Sorry. Bill can't give me a D because he thought planking was popular in 2000s. Newsflash, Phil. No one planked when you were in high school. But hey, I don't have any idea what you were doing on the science wall in high school.
You also didn't say anything about like Garth Brooks. He had some major hits come out in the
2000s. All right.
Can we do a bet and see if whoever loses has to get frosted tips? I would kill to see Phil with frosted
tips. I've had frosted tips, baby boy.
I've had frosted tips.
Yeah, I've had frosted tips. I've also had the Tito Ortiz shaved head with bleach. At a friend in high school did it for me.
Killed to see it again. Would you do it again?
I would, for the sake of my career, I would not do that again.
Okay, well, the good thing we're doing it.
Just wear a hat.
No, actually, you know what, Seth? I could do it for like a day and then shave my head, which I have also done. So
no, you'd have to keep it.
No. I am willing to do a frosted tips challenge. I think we should do that at some point. Yeah.
I will absolutely opt out, but I would be more than welcome for you guys to do it yourselves. I can just see Jordan going into his class on Mondays.
Zero chance it's happening.
Jordan coaching on the sideline with frosted tips. No, it'd be funny if he frosted his goatee. Just do a bleach goatee, Jordan.
No, not happening.
The frosted tips is too good, man. That is so good. Frosted tips. We've been going for an hour.
We've been going for a while, man.
I told you we shouldn't have covered those secondary QBs. All right. You know,
that took like 10 minutes. Okay. You know, you're the one who begged me to play that, you know, hot dog video recording. So anyways, guys, hey, thanks for tuning in. We're going to cover running backs and tight ends next week. Then we'll go to wide receivers the following week. Remember, don't be rude. Share the dudes. We will see you next week. And as always, guys, take care.
This has been another episode of the Fantasy Football Dudes podcast. Remember to rate, review, and follow. For more information, go to www.thefantasyfootballdudes.com. And remember, we are sorry for absolutely nothing.
E minus, get out of here.